Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, got a lot of reaction from our last episode with soil depletion, and everyone's anxious to find out more about, you know, the next step. Which, you know,
sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, they're not impressed with the fact that I'm asking them to spend more money on food.
What I think they're starting to realize, and a couple people commented, is, you know, garbage in, garbage out, and that applies to what I stick in my mouth just as much as anything else. So, and I think, you know, when we have a system that creates food that doesn't create healthy living, we need to really take a look at the system, and that really is the way we're producing our food and the way that we're looking at. I mean, I think of myself as a steward of the planet, and it really, we're not doing that good a job of looking after it.
No. If you're a steward, then you're practicing sustainable steward as opposed to not a plunderer, right?
Exactly.
Did I say plunderer as in come to the village, kill the men, steal the women, and burn the huts kind of plunderer? Well, there's a really lovely article written by Richard Drucker, the founder of Drucker Labs. We actually proudly distribute Richard's products, his product called Intramax and Intramin, are a fantastic source of carbon-bound organic nutrients. These are the stuff that you need. You need them because the food you buy no longer sustains it. So you need to now supplement it. It has become an imperative that supplementation is part of your lifestyle. You know, it used to be that doctor would tell you everything you need is in the soil, or in the food you eat, I should say. Well, the thought in my head is that would be nice if it were in the soil that produced the food. Here's what Richard writes. Much of Earth's soil is depleted, and depleted soil doesn't produce healthy, nutrient, and mineral-rich plants. Moreover, crops produced in depleted soil are more prone to invasion by insects, viruses, fungi, and so on. And insects and infectious organisms get rid of unhealthy vegetation and don't typically attack truly healthy plants.
So they're doing their job, and we're trying to stop them.
Right. Yeah, this reminds me, you know, in nature where you can really see it is like wolves. Their job is to thin and cull the herd, you know, keep the caribou or the deer from overpopulating. Because if we lose all the wolves, like we did, for instance, in Yellowstone, that's what they did. I watched a beautiful documentary on Yellowstone Park, its history, you know, going back to the beginnings of, I think it was 1898 or some year like that when this whole thing was started. And the first thing that they did is they killed off all the wolves. Well, that led to a population explosion in Wapiti, the elk. And then there were way too many elk. They overgrazed the natural resource, and then the population crashed. So they had a massive die-off of the elk. And it was like everybody was so upset because thousands and thousands of them died.
Right. It was a catastrophe. They had
yes.
no food.
No food.
Imagine starving to death. Oof.
Nasty. But anyway, the point was that getting rid of the wolves was the cause of all this trouble.
Hmm.
So
we're trying to control the environment to the point where we just make it worse and worse and worse.
Yes. The web of life is complex. And, you know, they say God doesn't play dice. You know, there are no accidents. There is a need for a way of balancing things. And what we would consider competitors for the resource, like the wolf, right?
Yeah.
Is actually a needed servant. He has his mission. And the mission is to keep the herd strong by taking the weak.
Right.
So similarly, in the plant world, you know, trees that get attacked by pests are the weak trees, either overgrown or overly mature or just weakened by who knows what, salt in the soil or whatever.
You actually remind me of once when I was young and I was out at my my uncle's farm. He's a wheat farmer. We were walking in, and the wheat all looked really healthy, except we came to this one point, one place, and there was a clump of wheat, and there was like thousands of ants running up and down this thing, ripping it apart, right? And a couple other bugs were there and everything else. Like, there were no ants on the wheat shafts like 3 inches away, you know, but this one was obviously, you know, distressed, right?
Yes.
And they were just there. It was like they were the garbage collectors, you know, they're just ripping this thing apart, taking it all away and stuff. And I remember looking at that thing like, why are they all on that one plant and not on any of these other ones? And of course the plant looked unhealthy and everything else. And I thought, wow, they're just doing their job.
Yes, that's right. They were doing their job. So here's another quote from Richard's article. Inorganic means synthetic, dead, toxic. Ammonium-based fertilizers, along with herbicides and pesticides, kill precious microorganisms in the soil that are essential to the creation of organic mineral complexes. We have used up the available trace minerals in our soil and destroyed the means of replenishing these soil-based microorganisms. Remember, in a few episodes ago, we discussed the sterile gut, how people are weak because they don't have good enough microorganisms in their gut?
Yeah.
Well, this is the soil. The soil is the gut of the plants. Or I should say it this way. If I were a plant, my roots would be in my intestine.
Yes.
So here what we're saying is that the plants are interacting with soil that's sick. So there's no chance that these plants can get out of it what they need to. Without replenishing the soil, the microorganisms cannot thrive. And if the microorganisms are not doing well enough, they are the ones that help extract the minerals out of the soil into the roots of the plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we're not getting minerals that we need.
Because of that, yes.
So why do I want minerals in the first place?
Well, the mineral dictates the quality of your experience. If the electrolyte in your cell is weak, the electric current that flows through it is weaker, and your signal is weaker. I mean, you can see that when somebody who's fully mineralized enters the room. It's a glow. It's a healthy person that's just, it's just like a bright sunlight coming through the door versus somebody who's sickly, you know, somebody who's, I don't know, well, sick with something serious. You will see that their energy is low. You will, even if you don't see auras, you would have a sense that they are just simply not putting out the energy that somebody who's fully alive is.
Right.
I don't know. Did I give you an answer you can work with, or is it
yep.
something that you were not even expecting?
No, I think it's important to know, because we often hear about, you know, you need to get these trace minerals, or we need to get this, or we need to get that, but we don't always know, you know, what is it for? And I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already explained what it's for and how it works. So, and the fact is if you, there are, here's the other thing too, is that we have no idea what, they call them trace minerals because we just need a little, there's some that aren't trace minerals, but I'm thinking particularly of trace minerals. We need just a little bit of it, and usually in terms of, you know, going back 400 or 500 years and prior to that, it was in the soil. We would get it from our foods, and now we're not because we've not, you know, we've depleted the soil. So there are probably a lot of trace minerals that people aren't getting that we don't even know that they're not getting yet.
Right. So, okay, so we need to bring in the word chelation into this. Chelation means that a mineral has been complexed with something organic, like an organic acid. You know, like you can have minerals either as rocks, you know, like, for instance, coral, calcium, or dolomite, or that's probably as good an example as I can give you. Magnesium carbonate, that's essentially in a solid state. Colloidal is when it's suspended in a liquid, and then ionic, where it's actually dissolved. Ionic is much more absorbable than solid. So, for instance, when I offer magnesium chloride or something like that in an ionic state, it has a much better chance of being absorbed by the human body than something like magnesium oxide or carbonate, which is essentially a solid piece, you know, like chalk. Right. Chalk, like calcium carbonate, much less absorbable than calcium citrate, which is actually something that's already reacted with an organic compound. So,
that's the problem, right? Because it's you could be eating sand. Well, great, each grain of sand is a mineral you need, but we all know that if we swallow a bunch of sand, where it's going to end up.
Yeah, untouched on the other end. So here's what happens when you eat a meal, and it has the minerals together with dark green leafy things, together with sufficient amount of fat and sufficient amount of digestive power, you know, the hydrochloric acid of your stomach. Your body's actually capable of chelating these minerals. But many people's digestive juices aren't strong enough, and they are not combining things properly, and so it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't come together. So somebody like Richard Drucker, he actually developed a method by which he creates a carbon-based, already chelated, processed product that you can take, you know, 1 ounce of it a day will supply you with the sort of stuff, the nutrients that you need in a form that are actually fully absorbable. So he is making up for the difference that this industrial farming is leaving us with. He is creating the supplement that makes up for the missing bits and pieces.
Right. It's very cool.
He calls it the solutions, right? He says, if our soil and crops lack essential minerals, we need to supplement our diets to achieve true wellness. All biological organisms, including us humans, require organically complexed trace minerals in order to maintain health and prevent disease. Decades ago, if we had only protected and nourished our soil from hazardous and toxic chemicals, these critical organic complexes would naturally be in the foods we eat today, but they're not.
Yeah.
So, there goes. Intramax and Intramin, products that are fantastically good at supplying the sort of stuff that's missing. He actually even formulated something called IntraKid, which is a children's version of the same thing. So if you want to have your child grow up with strong bones and healthy organism that does not fall prey to early tooth decay and allergies and who knows what else, civilization problems, then yeah, you definitely want to supplement your children with this. Of course, again, it's not the price of one a day Centrum. Price, I meant to say, of one a day Centrum. You know, this is an $80 a month in supplements.
Right.
But
$80 to be healthy and not get sick all the time.
Right.
That's a small price to pay.
And similarly, you know, this is what we do with our superfoods, you know, the Exula superfoods that we make ourselves. Again, these are made with ingredients that come from biodynamic farms. They come from organic or wildcrafted sources. So they do come from places on the planet that are still capable of growing high mineralization food.
Perfect.
So that's the next article that I want to mention, which is the missing enzymes. This article was written by the creator of the Exela Foods, Jerari Oberon, and it's on the same section where he explains how it all comes together. He's got this lovely equation. Your life energy is built from the function of the mitochondria inside of your cells, from chloroplasts and sun. And sun, of course, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's a chloroplast?
A near bacterium with its own genetic blueprint inhabiting plant cells.
So it's almost a bacteria in plant cells?
Well, it's chloroplast is the stuff that creates chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is the stored energy of the photons. Mm. So if you could imagine that you take light that's being sent out by the sun and arrives on this planet, the photon travels at the speed of light, 300,000 kilometers per second. We need to now store it somehow. And the way we store it is we actually park it inside plants in chlorophyll.
Okay. So we're actually, what we're talking about is we're talking about getting energy from the sun.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we take this photon and the plant will store it in the chlorophyll with the help of the chloroplast. Chloroplast is that device or this life device, you know, the machine, the engine, the factory that makes the chlorophyll. So once that chlorophyll ends up in your cell, now your mitochondria is the reverse. It pulls the sun energy, the photons, out and turns it into the energy that you and I can use.
Wow.
So the cycle of life. Sun shines on the plants, we eat the plants, the sunlight is released and becomes energy. That's what powers me and you.
So how does that relate to enzymes?
Well, without enzymes, this stuff doesn't get released. The enzymes are that which makes it possible.
So they're the key to unlocking energy.
Right.
So we have the sun puts a whole pile of energy on the earth. Some of that energy is stored in plants. We eat the plants. We get the energy. We're like, hey, we're jumping up and down and happy. If we don't get the energy, you're like sick and miserable and not happy. And the only way you can get that energy out of the plants and into our body is through a magic key, which we call enzymes.
Yes, that's a perfect description. The magic key. It's that one little bit of living stuff that has two states, activated and deactivated, or on and off. And each protein can either be on or off. An enzyme is that which triggers the change from on to off and back. So what it means to food is... It comes naturally with enzymes. Everything comes with enzymes that will digest it. Like carrots contains enzymes that will destroy the carrot. It'll turn it into compost. We, of course, want to prevent it, so we either freeze it or cool it, at least. You know, the enzymes only function at a certain range of temperature. It needs to be about room temperature. If it's too hot, like boiling, you pasteurize them. If it's too cold, you slow it down. You put them to sleep. So freeze-drying of food works because you fairly quickly put these things to sleep without killing them. And that's how we end up with these superfood powders that have been dried and the moisture has been taken out of them. So the enzymes are in there but dormant. As soon as we introduce moisture and put it into room temperature, these processes just wake up the same way as you can wake up yeast with a bit of sugar and warming it up and the bread starts rising. Well, the same sort of process here. the enzymatic activity kicks up the moment you warm it up and provide it with moisture. So something like the superfoods that we make, they are stable in the freezer, or they're actually stable at room temperature as long as you keep the lid closed before you open the bottle, because we have produced it with its protection. But the moment you open it up, you expose it to air, the digestion process starts.
And after that, you have to keep it frozen.
Yes, you should keep it frozen to extend its life, or else consume it as quickly as possible.
Right. So when we're using we're getting enzymes from, say, the Exo superfoods or however, what I'm trying to say is where does that activity take place in our body? Does it happen in the stomach, or does it happen in the blood, or the...
Oh, everywhere.
Okay.
It's, here's quoting Javari, right? The electron released at the instant of atomic excitement is captured by enzymes at the chloroplast site and becomes another building block of life energy. Suddenly, another enzyme molecule is enabled into being by other enzymes reflecting genetic instructions in the underlying hologram of life. Kind of cute how he's poetic here, eh?
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. The point here is that the enzyme allows the release of the stored energy. Without the enzyme, the energy cannot be released.
Cool.
So where do we go? Okay, we need some enzymes in the stomach to digest the food, but if we take the digestive enzyme away from food, meaning, for instance, if I took a digestive enzyme capsule and then didn't eat for an hour, that enzyme makes it into my small intestine, and that enzyme gets absorbed into my bloodstream, and that same enzyme is going to be now used in clearing the debris, digesting stuff that is in the blood that shouldn't be there. So it's a very intelligent thing to be supplementing enzymes throughout, especially if we suffer from any type of disease. One example I can give you is a fellow customer of ours bought a bottle of enzymes called Zymitol, and he's buying them in the 630 capsule bottle. So on his third month, again, 630 caps, I'm asking him, are you buying this all for yourself? And he says, oh yes. And that's $180 or something like that, or $150 purchase. So I'm saying, really? He says, look at this. I'm 54 years old. My wife is 35. I have 5 kids, all younger than 8 years of age. I have to keep up with this. You have no idea how energetic and flexible this thing keeps me. $150 a month is a small expense. And then he does describe how he goes playing with these kids, rolling down grassy slopes and just, wrestling and all of that. I mean, 5 kids piled on one guy, yeah, you better start taking something that's going to keep you young.
That's right.
And so that's what this does. A systemic enzyme will fire up what's called the enzymatic cascade. And this cascade essentially makes all processes in your life work. And that's how I instruct customers who buy these systemic enzymes with the intention of rejuvenation, is I'm saying you need to increase the dosage until you feel the enzyme cascade kick in. And it kicks in with a feeling like, you feel like $1 million. I mean, if you're 50, all of a sudden you feel like you were 24. And that feels darn good.
Yeah.
And that's what these enzymes do. They, typically, a person living in this society depletes his enzyme reserves by about age 26, 27. And then you sort of coast. You don't notice much. But about age 34, 35, all of a sudden you start noticing that things aren't like they used to be. you know, your recovery rate is slowing down. If you get bumped, you have to wait 3 days instead of 3 hours. Then if you work out hard, you have to take 3 days off instead of just one.
You remind me of a fellow that we actually both know who is really into pumping iron and bodybuilding type stuff. And he was he let himself go a bit. So he said, okay, I'm going to drop my... I got to get back into shape, so I'm just... I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, I'll eat this, I won't eat that. I'm going to do this program and that program. And I know from past experience that in, you know, a couple weeks, I'll be back
just
where
fine.
I am. And he's like mid-30s now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
so he remembers how he got to the shape he was, which he did that when he was 25 or 27, right?
Or 22.
Yes, okay.
And then, so here we go back... You know, like a couple months later, it's like, wow, man, I can't believe how hard it was to lose that weight. I can't, you know, I thought for sure I'd be, you know, it's taken me like way longer to get back into shape.
Yeah,
I'm still not into shape.
Yeah, this boxers call it the fighting weights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long does it take you to get into your fighting shape? And
that's
of
right.
course, when you're 22 or 24, it takes you about 5 minutes. or you know, in sense of training, you know, you can maintain that readily and easily, and you know, 3 months of intensive training and you're right there.
Yeah.
But when you're in your depleted states, when you're aging, it's nowhere near as easy. But supplementing with enzymes can get you there very quickly.
Yes, and that was the point. Is that you know, I watched what he ate, and he was not eating. You know, whole
enzymes.
Organic foods that were full of enzymes, or you know, any of the Exela products, or any of that sort of thing.
No, bodybuilders live on energy bars and stewed chicken.
Exactly, that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, and that's of course, you know, they will eat buckets of whey powder, which of course is pasteurized whey. Instead of eating hemp protein, you know, it's just a small difference. If only you would just take living hemp protein instead of the pasteurized whey. Or, you know, the small difference of instead of taking a protein bar that's made with grains and baked stuff, you would take uncooked chlorella and spirulina and rice protein or something like that.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I've been taking the Exela Zoetine for ever, and it's a all-natural, organic, plant-based protein mix that, you know, it's green, right?
It's green, yes.
And I've been doing a lot of hot yoga, and I've been doing a lot of walking and a lot of exercising and that sort of stuff, and to my surprise, I haven't been dropping any weight when I step on the scales. Now, my clothes are looser than they were, and what I'm realizing is that I'm building more muscle than I'm losing fat.
Right. This is important. And what you're actually describing is that, you know, muscle is about twice as heavy by volume than fat. But one important thing is that doing yoga, you're building core strength, core muscles. So those are the muscles that are all around your spine on the inside.
Yes.
These are not the external muscles that you would associate with bodybuilding, like the, you know, the, I don't know, bicep, tricep.
Yeah. I don't have a 26-inch bicep, right? But what's interesting is although the number of pounds I weigh hasn't gone down, the amount of fat that I have on my body has gone down. The amount of muscle I've got in my body has gone up. And one of my sons is about 20 pounds heavier than I am, and two or three inches taller. And he jumps on my back, right? And I basically lean over and, you know, and threaten to flip him over on off my back, right? And
yes.
It will be like 3 or 4 minutes he's up there, right? And he's going like, holy smokes, are you ever... And I'll be walking... I mean, I'm not walking like I'm walking normally with 220 pounds on my back, but I'm...
You carry it with strength, right?
I am carrying with strength. He's like, wow, you were strong, right? And
yeah,
I'm thinking,
that's the yoga, my friend.
Yeah, and it's the fact that I'm getting good protein and these enzymes to build my muscles.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah, show that old whippersnapper, hey?
That's right, that's right. The old lion still got a couple roars left in him.
Well, and here's the point. If you can maintain the cellular function fully supplied, it does not diminish. If you can manage to remove toxins and supply nutrients to the tissue, it will function indefinitely and it's optimal. This has been proven and shown. I mean, there's a study shown that they were cultivating or culturing chicken heart cells so long as they were removing the toxins and feeding the process. Those chicken heart cells, they were 36 years old when some lab technician had an accident or forgot about it or whatever and poisoned it and it allowed it to die.
Wow.
Similar thing, there are some fish in a tank in Chicago in an experiment that they're, you know, doing the best conditions for the scarf fish. I think they're like 150 years old now or some number like that.
Wow.
So long as you maintain cellular health, and this is the three things that we need to still answer the third one, but the first two was supply nutrients and remove toxins. The two killers are toxicity and malnutrition. So here's again, as long as you maintain the cellular function by removing toxins effectively and by supplying nutrients that are required, health is possible.
And reversal of...
Even that, right? I mean, you have lost some of your natural ability because of your perhaps lack of education, because, I mean, we all grow up in the society that teaches us that eating the food we eat is normal, right? We become addicted to cake and ice cream, and we become addicted to too much meat and not enough high-grade vegetables and all of that.
Yep.
Then, of course, we become lazy because an acidic body does not like to exercise, and it takes such amount of coaxing and pushing and cajoling to get the body moving again.
Well, and when you're acidic, you're inflamed too, right? So our joints are sore and
things yes.
don't work properly.
Yeah. So it's hard to dig out. It's hard to return back. But that's the only way we can do it.
Yeah. You have to start
then.
Somewhere.
Okay. So next time, we'll talk about the exercise. The next time we need to talk about the stagnation being the enemy of life.
Right.
Because stagnation, that's what a slab of marble is. That's not moving. There's no circulation happening in there.
That's right. And that's the next key to turning around these health concerns.
That's right.
So, Martin, if somebody wanted to... know more or talk to you more about some of these issues, what could they do?
Well, please read these articles in the health concerns section of Life Enthusiast Co-op's website at www.life-enthusiast.com, or call us. We will answer your questions at 1-866-543-3388, and get on thinking through detox. And Scott for Life Enthusiast Co-op. We are restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.
See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.